Thank you for joining Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield. As John Hay, one of the most famous men of the 19th century, once said, all the great prizes in life are just around the corner. Let's go there together.
One life matters. Pauline Mayo passed away in late December of 2023. She was almost 90 years old. She was a wife, a mother, a grandmother, and a great-grandmother. No, she wasn't famous, at least not outside of her family and friends. She was, however, very impactful on the lives of those with whom she had contact and for whom she held a deep love. This is her story, told by her grandson and my dear friend, Mr. Derek Price. He had a unique vantage point to give comment about this one special life, and he does so quite well. No, Pauline wasn't famous. She was more than famous. She was loved, and she shared that love with all who knew her. Now's your chance to get to know her, for it was Mother Teresa who said there are no great things, only small things done greatly. May Pauline's life encourage you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here and honoring a precious woman. My name is Derek. I'm a son of John and Ellen and Pauline's oldest grandchild. I was asked to give a eulogy at this service, which for the children here, that's a speech that praises and honors a person. So for just a few minutes, I will try to do just that. It's quite difficult and maybe impossible to summarize the life of a person with just one verse or passage from Scripture. But as I reflected on my grandmother's life these past days, one passage did seem fitting. It's from Philippians in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Paul wrote this, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." My grandmother, Pauline Marilyn Mayo, was born in a time when much of the United States was in need. She arrived in 1934 in the middle of the Great Depression. Their family of six lived in a house, a very little house in Le Grand. The house was small, though it was a nicer house in town. It had electricity and an indoor toilet, which many of the homes in Le Grand didn't have at that time. It was truly a different era. She would always describe her childhood and her life as being very nice, but there were great hardships. When she was only 10, her father died of rheumatic fever while her brother Alan was overseas serving during World War II. Her sister, Llewellyn, also served the military during that conflict. And her mother, Della, suffered from pains and disabilities caused by polio nearly all of her life. When Pauline was 31, her brother Norman and his wife died in a tragic plane crash. These are all stories that my grandmother would tell us, but with one common theme. She never told them with a grumbling or complaining spirit. She would describe the scenes and family members like you would describe historical figures and events. It was just what had happened. She was, of course, affected by her hardships, but she was steady and unshaken. She knew the Apostle Paul's secret of being content. And her pleasures were pure and modest. She spoke fondly of her simple way of life in Le Grand. As a teenager, she worked for the town's telephone office, serving as a switchboard operator. There aren't many former switchboard operators left with us these days. Maybe not all of her pleasures were completely pure. She did admit that she enjoyed knowing the town's gossip that she heard on the phone lines. Those switchboard operators knew everything. At the age of 18, she met and married a strapping young World War II veteran with a glimmer of joy in his eye. Well, not that young. My grandfather, Albert, was 30 years old at the time, a full 12 years older than her. I know, that's wild. But Grandpa did always have a glimmer of joy in his eye, especially when you asked him about his wife being so much younger than him. Their marriage transitioned, and Pauline transitioned into a farm girl, living in their modest home on the Mayo Dairy. Albert had gone into the dairy business with his brothers at a property out on Childs Avenue. And a year after the wedding, Pauline would become a mother to my Aunt Paula. And then just 11 months after that, my mother, Ellen. I know, that's wild. My grandpa always had a glimmer of joy in his eye when you asked him about it. But after their ferocious start out of the gates, Pauline developed cervical cancer, which ultimately left her unable to have any more children. But she would forever be thankful and hold that she had been healed by the Lord. She was thankful and blessed to have her two daughters, times of need and times of plenty. Dairy life was full with Paula and Ellen running around and the business operations steadily expanding. Many in this room lived or worked on the Mayo Dairy. Life on the dairy was simple but profound. The kind of life that chisels character into you, whether you like it or not. And it's ultimately very good for you, whether you like it or not. For Pauline and Albert, it was good, and it was full of all the hard work and all of the flies that come with it. Times of need and times of plenty. In 1977, they made a major move off the farm and into the big city of Merced to a modest home on a quiet cul-de-sac. The house even had a conversation pit. As Aunt Paula wrote in her eloquent obituary, my grandmother immersed herself in caring for her beautiful yard. She especially loved tending the flowers. She decorated the planters with little stone statues of creatures like frogs and turtles. Her pleasures were pure and modest. When grandchildren came, Pauline found much pleasure in being a grandma. The conversation pit was full of Legos and G.I. Joes, and many happy days and nights were spent sleeping over at Grandma and Grandpa's house in the big city. I am extremely grateful that my own children and my brother Byron's children have been able to have many good years with great grandma. When she discovered the hobby of quilting in 1984, she really discovered a new way of life. As probably all of you know, grandma loved to quilt. She was a tireless and talented quilter. And the friends that she made through her Quilters Guild were near and dear to her. For many long hours, she could sit in a room quietly crafting her masterpieces with nothing but the sound of the sewing machine interrupting the silence. The fruits of her labor were beautiful, and the vision that she had for gifting quilts to loved ones was brilliant. On my 18th birthday, as I prepared to leave for college, my grandmother gave me a quilt. And I will not lie to you, I was disappointed. At 18, I wanted money. But today, that money would be long gone. And that quilt is still in our home, and it will be until the day that I'm the one in a casket. What a vision she had for those beautiful creations. And then, of course, in 1994, the tragic surgical accident came for my grandfather, which left him paralyzed and turned their world upside down. They had saved his life operating on an aneurysm, but in the process, they had cut nerves that could not be put back together. On top of all of the health complications and medical needs, there was a new vehicle and home renovations to accommodate his wheelchair. The Lego pit was filled in and leveled. For Grandma, this would mean several years of exhausting care for her beloved husband. Through it all, he remained that child at heart with a glimmer of joy in his eye, and she remained a loving and dutiful wife. She was steadfast, but those were hard years, years of need. Can we imagine their joy now, walking together in heaven? And when he passed away in 1997, it's hard to believe that was 26 years ago, she mourned him, but she resisted the trappings of self-pity. She also doubled down in her personal ministry work through great acts of generosity to missionaries and ministries and humble acts of walking beside women who needed the guidance of an older, wiser woman. That was the widowed disciple season of her life. She enjoyed reading all sorts of books and studying the Bible, especially with her only granddaughter, Erica, who she always had a special bond with. And though she had needs, she served others as though she had plenty. Her pleasures were pure and modest. She enjoyed traveling, especially with grandchildren, and she enjoyed playing games, especially dominoes. We once even got her to play a game of cornhole, well after she was 80 years old. She loved to visit with the family and get together with friends. She preferred the television off and the music turned down. She did like old hymns, another thing I grimaced at as a child, but have come to really appreciate because of her. Most people develop a distaste for new music as we get older, but I think Grandma was born disliking modern music. Glenn Miller and his big band probably offended her tastes. And when she was 29 years old and the Beatles burst onto the scene, the Beatles were no doubt for the birds. When she listened to music, it was either the soothing sounds that you'd hear in a Hobby Lobby or classic hymns. Somewhere in this sanctuary, there's a hymnal dedicated to her with her name on it. I've tried to find it, but there's a lot of hymnals in here. If you can find it, I'll give you a dollar. I'd venture to guess that Grandma appreciated classical hymns in the same way that she loved her quilts. Both were carefully crafted, every stitch and stanza intentionally placed. Both tell a story of love. And both the hymns and the quilts were made to last far longer than the hands that made them. I'll love thee in life, and I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. Carefully crafted love stories, given to the world for as long as the world might cherish them. It's a strange thing to be here 4 days before Christmas. It's a season of celebrating a birth, the birth of Jesus. But Christmas has something to do with death, too, doesn't it? It's the beginning of the end for death. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection gives us the hope of life with him for all eternity. And Christmas is the celebration of the arrival of our Savior, the beginning of the end of death itself. Writing about death, the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Grandma ran the race well. She loved and inspired love in many people and pointed others to the love of Jesus. And because of Jesus, she has now put on immortality with him. As we celebrate the birth of our Savior in this season, I hope we can also celebrate my grandmother's glorious birth into heaven. Mild he lays his glories by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Pauline Mayo knew these words to be true. She had faith in the Lord, and her hope and trust were in him. And because of that, the Lord blessed her with contentment in times of plenty, in times of need. She was able to do all through Christ, who gave her strength. That's the secret. Trusting your life to Jesus. That's the secret that she knew. And I know that more than anything, she would want all of you to know that secret for yourselves. I'll close with an idea that will probably only make sense if you truly know and believe Grandma's secret. Have you ever been in an airport about to board a plane and you find out that your ticket has been upgraded from economy to first class? If you can relate to that, then you have a glimpse of what's happened for Pauline. For some years now, she was openly comfortable with the idea of dying. Like everything else, she approached it with perspective and an otherworldly contentment. She would laughingly say she was tired of getting old. On more than one occasion, she said, "This body is for the birds." We will miss having her around the table at our family's Sunday lunches. But I don't think she will. She's been ready to miss it for years. And that's something beautiful about all of this. If we've put our faith in the promises of the Lord, then there is no tragedy in Grandma's earthly death. There is sadness, but joy wins the day. It's been wonderful having her down here with us in the economy seats. But now she's received the ultimate upgrade. I deeply appreciate all of you being here. And I'm sure there's so much more that I could and should have said. And I pray that this is truly a time of celebration for her and her life, and also a time of celebrating the bonds that bring all of us together. I know she would really like that.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please sign up for my newsletter by visiting the landing page of DennisMansfield.com and clicking onto the yellow tab. I'm Dennis Mansfield, and this has been Just Around the Corner.